Now, scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 12, reading the first 14 verses of this chapter, and you can find that on page 816 of the Blue Pew Bibles. Sure what that was. Now let's ask the Lord's blessing as we come to his word. O Lord, as we look now to your holy word, we pray that you would open it up to us, that you would teach us from it, and that you would bless us as we learn more about you and about one of the blessings that you have granted to us. Guide us now by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. And we read here, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. And may God bless his holy word to our understanding this morning. In the beginning of Genesis, we find God creating the heavens and the earth. And he spent 6 days of creation designing and putting all the parts of the universe in their proper place. And he then set apart the seventh day as a day in which he rested from his work of creation and looked upon it and saw how good it really was. In doing so, he set a pattern for his creation to follow, that of 6 days of labor followed by 1 day of rest. As God the Son, Jesus was actively involved, of course, in the work of creation, including the establishing of that weekly day of rest. Today we'll see Jesus declaring that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, as he confronts the legalistic perversion of the Sabbath blessing by the Pharisees. And we'll look at the Sabbath and see what should we be doing on this, the Lord's Day? How should we observe the Lord's Day? Our culture around us tells us it should be just like any other day, no different. How are we, as Christians, to use this day? Well, in order to think about the Sabbath properly, we need to look at the background of it a little bit. And we see that it's a creation ordinance given by God as he created all things. The definition, the basic definition of Sabbath is rest. And so if you have a children's outline, the first item there The word Sabbath means rest. You can write that word in there. And rest means no work. So that's the other item for that number one. It's to be a day of rest. God set that day apart, and he set the pattern when he created. And he set that pattern before mankind fell into sin. Before that happened. And so it's important to understand that the Sabbath rest isn't the result of sin, the result of the curse on creation. It's not the result of any of those things. It's something that God created very good and gave to us as a blessing for us. It was for everyone. And of course, he gave it to Adam and Eve right there in the Garden of Eden. And everyone who has ever lived has descended from them. And it was a blessing for them. The Sabbath for God was a time to look back upon what he had accomplished in that week of creation and to rejoice in the good that he had done. A time of joy and refreshment. And that's what the Sabbath was intended to be for God's people as well. A time of joy, a time of celebration. And so when we look on the children's outline, the second item, when God created the universe and everything in it, he worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. He worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. And so it was a good time to rejoice. And the third item for the children, God wants the Sabbath to be a happy day, a day of rejoicing, a day in which we can look upon God's creation around us, when we can look at what we have been able to do as his servants, and we can rejoice in them, in all those things. The Sabbath rest is commanded early in the history of Israel. In Exodus chapter 16, we read about God giving the Sabbath rest to his people. In verses 22 to 30 of this chapter, we read, on the sixth day, this is when they were out in the wilderness and they had nothing to eat, and God provided them with the manna from heaven and the meat. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. See, as they first got the manna, if they kept any overnight, it got moldy and there would be worms in it. It would be not edible the next day. But this one time, on that sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. And it was okay on the seventh day. And the principle is set there. 6 days of labor, once again, 1 day of rest. They're not to go out and work and pick that manna, because it wasn't going to be there. In Exodus chapter 20, of course, we have the Ten Commandments given, and the fourth commandment we find in verses 8 to 11, and that's the first item in the next section of the children's outline. God requires his people to keep the Sabbath day holy. And we find that in Exodus 20. And we read there, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And so that day is to be holy. And holy means set apart, something different, not the same as every other day. In Exodus 31, God emphasizes the importance of the Sabbath to Moses as he gives the tablets of stone to him with the Ten Commandments on them. And he declares the death penalty for breaking the Sabbath. And so you can see how serious the Sabbath was to the Lord. It wasn't something to just be taken lightly. The people of Israel were commanded to set aside that one day. And the penalty was death if they failed to do so. It was a covenant forever with God's people, a sign pointing to God's pattern in creation, which also points to the eternal rest that God's people will enjoy with him. And so we work now and we look forward to that eternal rest. And that's coming. If you're trusting in Christ, that's coming. It will be yours. And we look forward to that. And the Sabbath is something that should point us in that direction. Excuse me. And so it was to be a day of rejoicing. And it was originally simply a day just to be separate from everything else, but it later became a time when the people of God would gather together to worship him and to be taught from him. And we see that in Nehemiah. And as you remember back in the series of sermons on Nehemiah, where the people gathered together and the law was read, and they went the whole day discussing that and hearing it, and that was when we see that being instituted. And so we do the same thing now. And so it was to be a day of rejoicing. The second item in this section of the children's outline, then, God expects us to rest from our work, except for things that really have to be done, and use the Sabbath day to worship him. So rest and worship. Now, as the Pharisees gained more control after the return from the captivity in Babylon, there was a dramatic change in how the Sabbath was observed. In place of a day of joy and rest from labors, the Sabbath became a legalistic nightmare for the people of Israel. As the Pharisees sought to make rules to cover every possible situation in which this commandment could be broken. And so this is what Jesus was facing as he came into this world. And the Pharisees that he was speaking with here in Matthew chapter 12 were guilty of making it a legalistic day, not a day of rest and worship. We see some examples of what they did, and I've mentioned some examples before. On the Sabbath day, the Israelites were not allowed, quote out of their work here, to do their own will, to prepare anything to eat or drink, to draw water, to bring in and out of their doors anything that has to be carried, which they have not prepared in the 6 days of work in their dwellings. And in this day they shall not fetch and carry from house to house. The rules would lay down, among other things, that they're not to go more than 2,000 cubits. A cubit is about 15 inches long. And so they couldn't go more than, 3,000 inches. And they would measure them to make sure that they didn't go beyond that. One is not to drive cattle more than 2,000 cubits. One is not to lift cattle out of a pit, help men out of a pit with a ladder, rope, or instrument, nor offer sacrifices apart from the statutory Sabbath burnt offerings. On account of the following activities, one incurs guilt on the Sabbath or feast days by reason of the Sabbath rest. And so they're guilty if they do any of these things because it's on a Sabbath. One is not to climb a tree, nor ride on an animal, nor swim in water, nor clap the hands, nor slap the hips, nor dance. These were the rules, in effect. Think about if we were to be following that today, if we had Pharisees coming around checking on us. But you can see what a burden that became. What a burden. And you had to be on guard because they would come along and check to make sure that you weren't breaking the Sabbath. There were jobs that were not to be done, and there were many subcategories in the list of jobs. Instead of the day being a joyful reflection on the blessing of God's, of being God's people, of being given a day apart to rest from the labors of the other days and enjoy the fellowship of God's people, of remembering God's grace and delivering them from slavery in Egypt and granting forgiveness of their sin committed against him. By the time Jesus came, the Sabbath had become a tremendous burden that even the Pharisees tried to get around. And so the Pharisees did allow saving a life that was in danger. And so if someone had started to fall off a cliff, you could reach down and pull them up. Of course, that broke their original rule. Normally, they would have to just hold on until the end of the Sabbath and hope for the best or die. They came up with ways to get around the rule, such as having the people who shared a courtyard in the middle of their houses. And you can imagine a little neighborhood, for example, and the houses are here, and there's a courtyard in between. And they could put like a string around those houses. And they still do that. Some folks still do that today. And you could walk within that boundary, and it was okay. It wasn't breaking the Sabbath, because you weren't going outside your house. It was considered a common house. If you ever watch Fiddler on the Roof, you can see an example there of what it was like to observe the Sabbath. It's very interesting to watch, and a good picture of what an Orthodox Jewish life on the Sabbath would be like. Now, our Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms provide us with what the Westminster Assembly believed we should do. And in the Confession, it says, as it is the law of nature that, in general, a due proportion of time be set apart for the worship of God, so in his word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment, binding all men in all ages, he hath particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath, to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. And so the assembly called upon those who adopted those standards to set apart one day in seven, likewise, to be a Sabbath rest. And recognizing that Christ rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week, and the church, after that resurrection, met on the first day of the week, we now worship on Sunday instead of Saturday. And there are still some Christians who believe that worship should be on Saturday. But we believe that because Christ rose on Sunday, therefore, that is the day that we should worship. And so the third item on the children's outline at the bottom, before Jesus came, the Sabbath was the seventh day each week, but now it is the first day, because that's when Jesus rose victorious over sin and death for everyone who believes in him for salvation. And I'll go through that again, because there's a lot of things to fill in. The Sabbath, before Jesus came, the Sabbath was the seventh day each week, but now it is the first day, because that's when Jesus rose victorious over sin and death for everyone who believes in him for salvation. And so we celebrate that today. And today is a day of celebration. It should be a day of celebration, a day of rejoicing, a day when we remember that Jesus came into this world and he lived that perfect life we cannot live because we have a sinful nature. And he died on the cross. And that third day, that Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. Death was not victorious over him. He was victorious over death. And he paid the penalty for our sin as he hung on the cross. And when he rose again, it granted us victory over sin and death. And so we don't have to live in sin and death anymore as we trust in Christ. And it's important to remember that. So we find here in Matthew, Jesus exercising his lordship over the Sabbath. And we notice that things are different for Jesus than for the Pharisees, quite different. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus calls the people to, and I quote, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Contrast those words to what the Pharisees had been teaching. The burden of the Pharisaic legalism regarding the Sabbath is part of the heavy burden placed upon those who were not trusting in Christ for their deliverance, but rather trusting in their own works. And so they would try to keep the list and make sure that they checked everything off on that list and they did all the right things, and then they thought they would be right with God, but they never, because of their sin, never able to do that. And neither are you and I. Jesus makes clear that outwardly keeping a list of rules is not what God desires. Resting from our labors and rejoicing as we remember the grace and mercy of God is what he seeks us to do. And that comes from a heart that's committed to Jesus. And so as you truly trust in Jesus, then the desire should be in your heart to keep that Sabbath day holy, to rejoice, to set aside a time each week when you can meditate on all that God has done and the blessings you have received because of that. What a great blessing that is. Jesus shows by his actions as well as his words that there are times when acts of necessity and mercy are required and acceptable on the Sabbath. And so his disciples were hungry as they walked through a field of grain, and they ate some of the grain. And Jesus says, that's not sin. That's not sin. The disciples plucking the heads of grain, of course, were considered the work of reaping by the Pharisees, and their rubbing the grain was considered the work of threshing by the Pharisees, and both of those were forbidden. And so you could not prepare or collect any food. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament system, it was very, very strict. But you look to the New Testament and you look to what Jesus teaches, and we see the grace and the mercy of God toward us. And that it is a heart committed to Jesus that God seeks, not following a list of rules, one after the next, after the next. And so Jesus healed that man with the withered hand. And he showed that it is okay to care for the sick on the Lord's day. Jesus asserts his authority as Lord of the Sabbath in response to their complaints by the Pharisees, using the example of David. And you can think of David coming there and into the area where normally the priests were, and the priests only got to eat that bread. And it was only eaten on the Sabbath when it was going to be replaced. But yet, they were hungry, and Jesus said it was okay for them to eat that bread. The priests were not guilty when they ministered on the Lord's day. Same as pastors today are not guilty when they minister on the Lord's day, even though it is a day of work for a pastor. Jesus declares in Mark 2, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And so the question then comes to us, how should we keep the Sabbath? How do you keep the Sabbath? What do you do on this, the Lord's day? Does it look like any other day? It shouldn't. It should be a day when you have time. When you have time to rest. When you have time to sit back and think about God's blessing. When you have time to fellowship with your family and meditate together on what God has done and how he has blessed you, and what blessings you can look forward to in the coming week. And sometimes it's hard. In our culture, it is very hard to turn away from our worldly labors. And I can remember, and I think I've probably shared this, when I was in Arizona going to college, and I lived with the pastor and his family, and they were very strict on keeping the Sabbath as a totally different day. And I was, part of the deal was, you come and live with us, you won't be doing your homework on Sunday. And that was hard. If your kids in school, it's hard not to do your homework on Sunday, take a day off. And that was the choice I had. I could be there and not do my homework, or I could go somewhere else. And I learned the blessing of getting all my work done in 6 days. And I learned that I could do that. And it was amazing, because I wasn't necessarily used to having that whole day off. And so it's to be a day, not a burden, but a day when we recognize the blessings that we have. And we rest from those labors. And even moms should get a rest. Moms do a lot of work all the time. And they don't always get a rest, but they should. And so families, think about mom on the Lord's day. Think of the blessing that she has been to you and continues to be to you. And give her a little break on the Lord's day. Resist that legalism, of course, of the Pharisees. I know there's a temptation sometimes to go overboard and to make lists, and I grew up with lists. My family was pretty strict in keeping the Sabbath, and I couldn't play on the Sabbath, and I had to sit in the afternoon and read books, Christian books, and that was it. That was a little more legalistic than I think needs to be. But I also need to not be working. And so think about that. And if you're in a position where you're doing works of necessity and mercy on the Lord's day, then you're supposed to have another day, a day of rest for you too. And so we have people in the medical profession, you know, people have to be cared for on Sunday. But take another day and actually rest on it. And that's okay. And so Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. And we need to acknowledge his authority, and we need to rejoice in his mercy and his grace granted to us as we look forward to our eternal rest with him. Our Sabbath day should be a day that pictures in our minds a little bit, should be a little bit of a foretaste of what is to come as we think about that and rejoice in God's goodness. And so let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the rest that you do give us each week. And we pray that you'd help us to actually take that rest and to rejoice and to take some time to set apart to meditate on your goodness and mercy granted toward us through Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would impress upon us the blessing that it is. Help us not to set aside the day as a legalistic day like the Pharisees did. And help us to recognize your grace and mercy as we enjoy one another and as we enjoy fellowship with one another and as we set apart this day to worship you and to remember you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.